Hello and welcome to episode number 39 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Coming up in today's episode, we hinted last time that we'd be talking to Brad Underwood. But we're not doing that today. That's a good thing if you're an Illini basketball fan, because we were notified that Brad had to make a recruiting trip, so he's not here. We don't know where he is. We don't have a Brad Underwood tracker. We don't have a Brad Underwood...
I can confirm I have not placed a GPS on his car. I don't know why you would ask such.
That'd be the... You know, these days they have Find My Friends.
Uh-huh.
It's not that hard if you just... You could just ask him.
Yes, I'll ask him.
Hey, can I just track your location?
I would do it. That's the problem.
I know. That's kind of weird.
Yes.
But here's what we do have: an Illinois basketball coach, and it's Illinois women's basketball coach Shauna Green. So excited for her.
We should probably note that this is not like, well, we couldn't get Brad. We've been trying to get Shauna for a month, and it just so happened that the day that Brad canceled is the day that she could do it. So this is not a, it's not a second choice. It's a plan B after someone had to cancel.
That's true. We intended to have two episodes.
Yep. Intended to record twice and release them both this week, and couldn't do it for very understandable reasons.
So the plan is still that Brad Underwood will join us at some point in the future when he's finished, you know, recruiting and building a roster.
Might be a tiny bit more important.
Yeah. Shauna Green is also busy, but she had a hole here in her schedule. So we are excited to talk about women's basketball, the season that just was, with a first-round victory in the NCAA tournaments, and maybe what could be an even more exciting season to come. But before we get into that, let's say hello to our producer, Ella Peterson. Hello, Ella.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Mom's weekend just happened. Did you get to show Mom around?
I did. I think Mom knows her way better around than I do. But, like, we did it together, which was fun.
Yeah, as you've noted, You were not required to apply to the U of I, but probably didn't hurt that you did.
They honestly didn't want me to go to Illinois. I was going to University of Florida until the day before decisions came out, or like I had to decide. My brother was already here. I obviously chose Illinois, but so they're happy I'm here, but like they weren't like, you have to go.
You just got a little confused on orange and blue. You know, you had an orange and blue choice.
Yeah.
Just had to, change the tint a little bit there.
Yeah, SEC, Big Ten, like, you know, it was a good, but I made the perfect decision. So we had a great time.
It means way more that you're here. See what I did there? SEC.
It took me a second. I was trying to catch up. I was trying to catch it. I'll get there.
Well, glad good times were had. All right, should we? Ella, how excited are you to have Shauna here?
Oh, I'm so excited. I get to spend all like end of fall, winter, early spring covering her and the team. So it's so fun to talk to her outside of a State Farm Center.
This is the, we've talked about it, you know, and when Josh Whitman's here, can you have your cake and eat it too? Because both his basketball programs are postseason teams again. And his football team won a bowl game again.
Yep.
I wonder if Illinois could become a little UConn-ish, you know, where both the men and the women.
I am not limiting anything at this point. I'm ready to be like when they tell stories of the late 20s Illini, it was like, I don't know how they did it to be so successful in all the sports. So I won't limit. I'm ready to be UConn basketball and Alabama football. No pressure, everyone.
All right. As we welcome Shauna Green in, we first have to do something.
Yes,
here.
We have to light the eye, and you will understand why the color is the color when we light the eye.
Oh.
Shauna Green.
Our guest today hardly needs any introduction. She is the head women's basketball coach at the University of Illinois. She just recently wrapped up season number 4. She has led a revitalization and a renaissance of the program and recently had 2 Big Ten tournament victories as well as a second straight year in the second round of the NCAA tournament. She is Shauna Green, the second winningest coach now in program history as well. Welcome to Light the Eye. So cool to have you here.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait to see the eye lit up. This is great. So let's get after
lit
it.
Lit up in the correct color.
In the great color.
Yes. I mean, we have this whole wheel of colors we could use. When else could we use green?
I love it.
Feels very appropriate.
Yes.
Thanks for spending some time with us. The season is over, and it was a very good season. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What keeps you occupied right now? Because I know it's portal season now. Mm-hmm. So is there any moment to catch your breath right now?
The last week and a half, really since season was done, we've been pretty pretty busy. Just really the number one thing for this year was retention. We want to build we have a very young, talented team, and we want to keep these guys together. So that's what we've been really spending all of our time on is trying to get each player, you know, locked in and signed and ready to go for next season. So obviously we were in the portal a little bit. We picked up one a couple days ago in Divine and super excited about her. But name of the game for this year was retaining this group so we can have another year together and really try to grow, learn from this year and hopefully do some really special things next season.
There was a bit of a viral moment we've talked about here on the pod, but when UCLA's coach in the post game here said, if you can retain your squad, I mean, she was speaking to everybody, if the squad stays together, look out. Was that as big of a moment internally for the program? Because I think everyone else saw that as sort of a stamp of approval, of encouragement, of recommendation, and all that. Did that kind of ring through the program for you guys?
You know, I think it did. Also, I had been talking about that whenever I could. I would put it in there, talks to our team about, you know, if we can keep this core group together, the sky's the limit. And even actually, before Corey said any of that stuff after the game, I think it was day one of our film and our prep, when I was talking to the team and preparing for UCLA, I wanted to make a point. And I said, this group, this team, who is going to compete for a national championship, all stayed together. And some of them were there for 3-4 years, and they picked up a piece or two in the portal. But the core group had believed in that place and had stayed, and now look at what they're doing. So I had actually used that leading into the game. And then for Corey to say that after was kind of, it was perfect because I'd already said that in the team and just when we were together. And then for her to say that, I just think it is kind of, you know, one of the best coaches, you know, out there, someone that just now won a national championship, understands number one, the talent level that we have on this team. And number two, how important it is to keep a group together. Because when you do that, it's different. It means more when you've gone through the highs, the lows, the building, the process. Now for them to get to that national championship point, it means so much more.
So not taking away anything from athletes trying to earn their money and what's due to them, but the enticement to experience that together. Of course, coaches and fans want players to stay because they love them, right? And you want to, but hey, stay here and experience something that maybe a bigger check just can't go get you. You know, here are the chance to win and also how you'll be viewed if you have the success you want.
Yeah, I think that's something we talk about a lot in our program, right? It's like anything. It's like the professional level. You know, you see a lot of times where pros take maybe less money to play in a championship level team, right? Or go somewhere because they want to compete for a national championship. So obviously they need to get, everyone should get, you know, what they deserve. And this is a great time that they can go and have that opportunity. But there's also, when you're trying to build a championship team, there's some sacrifices too in order to build that. So, you know, and that's what makes it so special, is the sacrifice in so many areas that people have to make, you know, when an unbelievable season happens. So many things come into play.
How different is it? A little later on, I'll just prep this for you. I have some quotes from Joe McEwen years ago when I talked to him when you were hired about like what he could see from you and how you would build a program. when he was talking at the time, I went back and listened to the clips today. It's so different because it was 2022 mm-hmm. and everything was like, even the way we discussed the transfer portal in the mm-hmm. window in the interview was different because everything has changed with NIL and everything else. So how hard is it to deliver that message today of, you know, when we're in this culture of like teams are consolidating at the top mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know, what is that?
You know, I still think it comes down to relationships and the culture. And at the end of the day, I don't ever want to get away from that. Like, our program's always going to be about genuine relationships, caring about one another, trying to help each of our players become the best versions of themselves. And the most important thing is the team and all pouring into to achieving and striving for the same goal. So, you know, a lot of factors are coming into play now, but I just never want it to be, it's still at the end of the day for us at our core is relationships mm-hmm. And developing our young women. Again, we talk about it all the time, but just how can we help you be the best version of yourself? And to us, that's what this is about. And if people believe in that and love that, then they fit our culture. And if they don't, then they don't, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's a business, but I don't want our players to feel like it's a business at its core. I want them to feel like it's a family and that we're all striving to get to where we all want to get.
Yeah, and Coach Bielma has talked about how even in recruiting in high school, he delivers the message of like, look, if you don't pick us now, you still have my phone number uh-huh. and you're still from Illinois and, you know, this and that. We've seen that with Aaliyah last year, yeah. with Divine this year. How much is that part of that? Like, hey, the family's still here waiting for you.
You know, I think that goes back to, again, our core relationships. And through the recruiting process, we build really, really good relationships, especially when we recruit, you know, at the high school level. It's years in the making. So we've seen that now. We did it at Dayton. We didn't get a couple and we got them back. Actually, we recruited a couple at Dayton that we ended up getting here. You know, and so we've had a pretty successful track record. I said, I don't know if that makes me a good recruiter or a bad recruiter because uh-huh. we lose them the first time, but uh-huh. we get them back the second time. And by then, sometimes when you've been somewhere else, a lot of times you can really have a lot of gratitude for the culture, for, you know, how we go about doing things here, where sometimes if it's all you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Sure.
So I love that. That's why you never burn a bridge. People have to make decisions for in that moment, whatever those decisions are. And then if they decide that they're interested in us and how a lot of it's how they end it too. Do they handle it the right way?
Sure.
You know, and that says a lot about them. And again, we'll take you back.
We had Kendall on the podcast, and mm-hmm. she told us the story of when she was leaving Michigan State. Yeah. You had been recruiting her at Dayton, mm-hmm. so it was this, mm-hmm. you know, and then you got this job, and it's this melding of all of that. And she said, what was the story? You had attended it wasn't a basketball game, a softball game or a volleyball game or something like that.
Of something for her brother, I think.
Yeah, we went to her practice, and it was like our whole staff went over there. And then her brother was outside playing tennis. So
tennis,
we went out and,
yes.
and watched Connor play tennis. And, you know, that's what this is about. It's those relationships. And, yeah, we didn't get her. She told me no at Dayton. She left Michigan State, told me no again at Dayton. And then I just tracked her down, and I came and took the Illinois job as hockey coach. So she didn't have a choice. So.
Sorry, I did this for you. So many people disappointed.
No, but those are the great stories, right? And they felt comfortable too when I got the job because they knew me. You know, we had built that relationship with her and her family. So a lot of these things all work out the way they're supposed to work out, and sometimes there's just a detour along the way.
Sure.
There was a game this year where Kendall was doing radio. Genesis Bryant was doing television, yeah. and of course Dahlia McKenzie's hanging out. I don't know. I know she works with, you mm-hmm. know, Game Day. I don't know if she was doing on the job there, but it just felt like you had all these vets from your program now working the game mm-hmm. around you, and it just all felt like that kind of encapsulates the relationship you're talking about.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the first time that happened was at Florida State. We had Jen calling the game on TV, and KB was on radio, and getting all them together and we won that game. That was the first time they were both on, and I'm like, I just had a good feeling. It was good to have them around. I'm like, okay, we're going to win today. And then obviously, you know, going through where Jen was up doing the game on Big Ten and you know, KB and Dal, if Dal's there, a lot of times she'll sit right next to KB, and I get to, you know, talk to them during the game, and they give me a little sense of comfort and ease. And sometimes I'll lick over a KB and we'll make eye contact. She knows exactly what I'm thinking or about to say, or, you know, she can calm me down a little bit. So it's just been awesome, like, to see them, you know, having so much success and to have KB still here, a part of us and traveling with us. So that's what this is all about, to see them being successful after, you know, Jen was back in town on Friday and her and Dal came over to the office and just sit and, you know, talk with them for, you know, over an hour and laugh. And it, again, the relationships is what this is about and helping them be successful.
Now, speaking of Kendall, one of the most incredible post players this mm-hmm. program's ever had, they don't grow on trees, do they? And just because you're tall. I mean, Kendall was, I guess, undersized uh-huh. for playing the five, but her technique was so incredible. Why is it so hard to find the best post players?
Yeah, number one, I mean, there's just not a lot of them out there, right? And size is so valuable right now. And the thing I loved about KB and kind of how I am in general, like, I don't care if you're 5'10 or if you're 6'10, it's how tough are you, you know, how determined are you, the passion and how hard you play. And that's what KB was so special. You know, she just had a knack for rebounding. She really figured out defensively how to guard someone much bigger than her. She grew so much on both ends of the floor, really. And to see what she did, and I mean, every game, like, I'm like, look down, I'm like, she has another double double, and it's like, it became just so, you didn't even notice it because she's getting 16, 17 rebounds. Like, I don't want to say I never took it for granted, but you could, because she just was so consistent in her production and how she went about everything every single day. We talk in our program a lot about being everyday women, and man, KB was that. Every day you knew exactly where you were going to get. So to find that, it's really, really hard. But I'm excited about her too, you know, young posts with Letty and Manuela, who didn't play last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Letty with a year under her belt and now Manuela come in off an injury. I'm really, really excited to see their progression.
Well, Ciara Parchment was a phenomenal freshman season, one of the best the program has mm-hmm. had. Is it fair to say you'd rather her in the four than the five? Was she kind of a Kendall in that sense for you this year, and sort of forced into playing the five?
Yeah, I mean, she could play the five, but I, you know, it's not her probably, you know, ideal position.
Yeah.
She's probably truly a four. But like, I loved how she embraced it. Mm-hmm. She might not have liked it early on, but then as she really grew in it, and like I told her, we didn't play her like a traditional five. So you can say she's five, but think about all the mismatch problems we caused mm-hmm. with her ability to pick and pop, her ability to put the ball on the floor, her ability to get a rebound and go coast to coast, come off ball screens. So it was really hard for a five to guard her. And she got better guarding a five as well. So she had just an unbelievable season. It'll be nice next year that she can flex more to the four. We can have, you know, multiple people at the five. And then that'll also give Barry, that'll push her to the three some too, which, again, we don't really use. I hate when you get into numbers.
Is she a three?
Is she a four? Like and so many people want to pigeonhole, like, okay, you're a four, but, like, we're pick and pop and Barry nonstop. We're setting ball screens for her. It's so nice to be able to have someone like a Barry and a CeCe that can score literally in every facet of the game.
I think they're basketball players.
Exactly. It's like, I don't want to, in our system, if you rebound it, you're pushing it. You're mm-hmm. the point guard. So, you know, don't get caught up in numbers.
Ciara, though, I may be most impressed, not with her skills, but she seems to have a competitive fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can quantify that, but she has a will to win.
Yeah, she's an elite competitor. And, you know, as a young kid, as a freshman, you know, some of that is some learning how to manage that and learning, you know, just the mental side of it and the mindset side. And I thought she grew, for how much she grew as a basketball player, she grew probably even more from the mental aspect of playing at high level basketball and really trying to figure out how to channel that competitive spirit. But you can't teach that, and it's so valuable. So I love how competitive she is. And I also love the growth that she had in the mental side of the game.
I'm curious your view on, let's just call it, state of the game. You know, this year, the 4-1 seeds were the same Final Four teams from last year. That was the Final Four once again. You know, there's this whole kind of a bit of a consolidation at the top kind of thing mm-hmm. happening, which is, you know, what people were very worried about with college football, and it didn't happen. Worried about with college basketball, men's college basketball. Then season, the women's game, there's a little bit more of that cream rises to these programs, and are they going to become super teams and just drag? So where do you think this is right now with the portal, NIL, and everything else as in 2026?
Hopefully that the portal and everything can give more parity. You know, hopefully that gets to what we're wanting. But it is the last, you know, I saw a graphic with the men's Final Four teams the last 10 years and the women's. And the men's, it's obviously all different. Mm-hmm. And the women, it's UConn, you know, how many of those?
Yeah, South Carolina, eight of the last nine.
Yeah, obviously, you have your randoms in there that made it. But you just don't, it's totally different than the men's side. But I also think that comes back to, too, how we have it with the playing at home sites. You know, there's so many upsets that can happen when it's a neutral court. And in order to get out, if you're not hosting, so if you're not in the top 16 seeds, then you're having to beat a 2-3-4 on their home court. That's really hard, you know. So you just don't see as many upsets on the women's side for, I think, a variety of reasons. But as we know, home court is gold, right? So to be able to play that big of a game on your home court in front of your home fans is obviously a huge, huge advantage. So I think that hopefully we'll get to the point where we could have neutral sites. In the year with COVID, when we had neutral sites, was some upsets.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see it as a goal then for next year until it changes?
Yeah.
You know, get in the top 16 and you're going to host in the State Farm Center.
No doubt about it. That is a goal. And we talked about it actually, you know, at the end of the year, actually in the locker room at Vanderbilt after that game. You know, our goal is to host and to take that step. And in order to take that step, you know, every single game, whether it's early December or, you know, late February, every game matters. And for a young team going through a season together first time, sometimes you don't understand that, right? Mm-hmm. So our players know now. They understand the importance of home court. They understand the importance of every game matters for your net, for your placement in the Big Ten, and then therefore your seeding in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you even allow your players to look at it, but the way too early rankings are already out. Nobody knows their entire rosters. Yeah. Schedules haven't even been set. The point is you're on it, and that means there's going to be some expectations from somewhere, from outside, from media, maybe from fans too, about next year. Are those to be embraced? Are those to be put up there on the bulletin board too?
Yeah, we embrace it. Actually, I sent that to our team, and because I want them to understand every day, like what we're capable of doing. And again, no one knows. Who cares about preseason rankings? But to be in that talk means that we did something this year and that we have what it takes to do something next year. And for a young team, I'm trying to motivate them. So I'm trying to find any, you know, let's look at this. Let's know what we're capable of. But then why can't we be top 10? So I use that. And every team and every situation is different. But I just thought that was something that is a great thing, and it's something that we came here to have this program be about, a top 25 team consistently. So anytime we can be in a top 20 in the way too early or whatever preseason, whatever you want to call it, we take that as a step forward in this program, and I think we need to be proud of that, but we're sure as hell not satisfied with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our producer is Ella Peterson. She's a sophomore in broadcast journalism at U of I, and you've interacted with her before on Big Ten Plus broadcasts. So we're going to welcome her into the conversation. Go ahead, Ella.
Hey, guys. I've been plugging away back here, and I've been thinking about a few different things. And I think we've talked a lot about where this program's going, where it's been with, you know, it was fun having Kendall on the podcast and seeing everybody around the court because they were all in there last year when I got here, my freshman year. But I know everything's clear in hindsight. There's a lot of 2020 vision when you look back. But did you know coming into the season what you had with Jackson and Parchment? Or was that kind of a fun surprise? Did they live up to the expectation that only you knew about? Or just kind of what you thought of that?
I mean, coming in, you know, they were highly ranked, highly recruited, both of them players. So we had high expectations for them. That's why we recruited that 25 class. We knew was so important to us because we were literally graduating our five, you know, starters and the cornerstone of what we've built in our 3 years here. So that 25 class was recruited with very much detail and purpose behind it and very intentional of what we needed. We knew we needed players that had the ability to come in and make an impact right away. Now, they're freshmen. So you never know how that's going to look. And now, you know, it's a freshman point guard in the Big Ten. That's hard as a senior. It's hard as a junior. And what Destiny did as a freshman is really amazing, and I'm so proud of her. Then you look at CeCe at the five position. Number one, playing probably a little out of position in your first year of the conference, and her growth and what she was being able to do. It really was just an amazing year for both of them. So did I know they were capable of it? Yes. Did I, you know, but I never want to put really expectations on freshmen. So it was great. I knew we were going to have to go through some, you know, you're throwing them in the fire. We're going to have to go through some bumps along the way. And to be honest, we probably had less bumps than I thought we would with two true freshmen playing significant minutes in really significant roles.
Okay, awesome. And then we talked a little bit about the tournament format. And I think just talk me through what makes something so different about going somewhere else to play on the road in the tournament, and like what makes it so much more difficult than a basic away game outside of the expectation of how big the tournament is.
Yeah, I mean, luckily in our league, we're prepared because we go play in really hard environments, like playing at Iowa, playing at Indiana. You know, I could go down the line. They're really tough places to play. And I thought that Iowa game was a really good, preparation game for us in terms of, you know, we're playing in front of a sold out place against a high level team, top 10 team. I told our team after, this is a team we're going to have to beat in this environment in order to go to a Sweet 16 and get out of the first round. Unfortunately, we played really well against Colorado and didn't make shots and didn't play our best against, you know, a really good Vandy team. But it's hard. And in those moments, it's a big game anyways, but then you throw in the comfort level that a home team has. You have to play extremely well, and you can't shoot whatever percentage we shot and expect to win. So unfortunately, it was just one of those, okay, it's a bad day to have a bad day. But you know, give credit to them. But it's tough. It's tough to go win on the road in general, and it's sure as heck tough to win with a Sweet 16 on the line.
But I know you maybe don't like consolations, but it seemed to me maybe a game sticks out here or there to you, but to me it felt like there was very few times, if at all, this season where Illinois was run out of the gym, like just, you know, dominated by the other team. It was always competitive. Even if it got to double digits, you were fighting back. And to me, that seems like that can roll over into next year. You know, you lose close, turns into close wins or maybe more dominant wins.
Yeah, I agree on that. And through the years, you know, our previous years here with even some veteran teams, we had some games where, you know, you always have one of those where you just don't have a great game and, you know, you get beat by 20 some. Or we never did that this year. Like, we always fought back and made it a game. And, you know, we could ever put 40 together. But again, a young team figuring that out. And now we can use all this experience and knowledge that we gained this year about what to do, what not to do. You know, those moments of that, how we start matters. And now we can work towards, you know, hopefully being better in those areas next season. But to show the fight, the resiliency that this young team had was really encouraging, and something I'm really probably the most proud of is just the fight they had. And they got punched sometimes, but we're going to get back up and keep punching, and that's what you want to see.
Robert has some throwback stuff for you before we do that. Speaking of transfer portals, you got one player you've announced already, Divine Burridge, transfer from LSU. And as you already talked to, you had a relationship with her. She's from Iowa. So she was at LSU. Does she, number one, know that you don't wear colorful jackets like Kim Mulkey does? Did you have that discussion? And more importantly, what does she bring to the table on your roster?
Yeah, Divine is someone, obviously, we recruited really, really hard the first time around. And you know, she's from Davenport, Iowa, which is like 30 minutes from where I'm from. So she played in the conference that I played in high school. So, you know, I'm from Iowa, and 20 some years of coaching, I've never gotten a kid from Iowa. So this is this one is really important to me. But you know, she went to LSU and you know, then obviously went in the portal, and it was someone that, you know, we knew that you know, we knew what she could do, and we know what she's capable of. So she's just someone that can come. She brings great size. You know, she's 6 feet. She played some point in high school. She can play a variety of positions. She has great athleticism, you know, can score at all three levels, and really can get after and defend a lot of players on the defensive end, which I love. So I think just her versatility as well. And obviously, like any freshman, any transfer, there's a learning curve. So I'm always usually really patient with that. But it's nice. She has 3 years left. So I think the sky's the limit for her, you know.
And if I'm in gray territory here, I, you know, back me off, but there will not be any true freshmen on the roster for next year. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, because you brought in so many freshmen for last year. So any additions for this year's upcoming roster would be through portal, right?
Yes. Yeah. No true freshmen. So, we had enough of the true freshmen last year. So
yeah, but you will be, you know, going through this portal process here for the next few weeks.
Yeah, because we have to carry 15, so that's something that, you know, we have to get to, and depending on what happens with our current roster, then we'll have to go and fill those spots. So we're still attacking it.
Yeah. Well, at least this changes constantly, but I've seen at least one of your players post that she's back. So hopefully that means a lot more, too. I don't know who has to post that they're back or not, but it's kind of fun when that happens.
Yeah, and that's something, too, that I think, you know, we in our program and our culture want to make it the norm that you come back.
Yeah.
So you may not see a ton of our, you know, us posting or coming from our direct media, but, you know, some of these kids through their agents and stuff want to post that, and I'm totally fine with that. But we also want to just create the norm that this is a program that where you come and you want to stay and you want to graduate. So that's something that we are, you know, take a lot of pride in. And hopefully we can continue that with all of our kids that come here.
Okay, so this is the last thing we'll go through, I promise, then we'll let you get out of here. In 2022, the Big Ten Media Days were in Minneapolis, and we were allowed to go up there on, like, the team plane kind of thing, and, you know, just because it's so hard for media to travel to a Media Days in Minneapolis. So everything's going on. Obviously, Northwestern probably didn't have many media going there. So during the coach breakout sessions, Brad Underwood's sitting there with, like, 40 media around him, and your former, I guess, how long did you work with Joe?
Just one season.
Okay, just one season. He's just sitting by himself behind the desk, like, you know, obviously he had talked to the two Northwestern student media kids that had been there, and he had nothing else to do. So I just sat down and I talked to him about you. So I hope this isn't embarrassing for you, but I was just asking
scary.
Him.
Yes. This is scary.
Yes. So this is 2022 when he's saying these things. This first part, I just moved the slider forward as we were getting ready here, because my question feels so embarrassing, and it's a credit to you, because my question is there any hope for the Illinois women's program? Like, we just saw one win Big Ten season. We saw two win Big Ten season, three win. Is it just useless? You know, basically. But he took it in a good direction. So here's his answer to that embarrassing question from me, and then we'll get to, you know, what else he did.
I think Shauna just understands. I think she understands the recruiting, not just the territories of the Big Ten, but, you know, just the process and what, you know, what she wants to coach and, you know, what you need in our league to be competitive in the top half. And I think she gets that.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I think you'll see her impact right away with discipline of her, the way her team plays. And, just, and then she has national recruiting ties, but also, you know, she understands, you know, how fertile the state of Illinois is.
Yeah.
And
if
you're the university,
sure,
you know, you have, you know, at every school in the state, you know, somebody's graduated from Champaign.
Right.
So I think that's probably, she understands those things.
Yeah. I wrote about this at the time of saying, like, this is interesting because he seems really like you've got the right person. There's 8 other minutes to this interview, and we'll play one more clip here. But, you know, it was very interesting. So what's your reaction when you hear him saying this? You know, this is a competitor of yours the last 4 years. So, you know, what's your reaction to that?
That's what makes Coach so special, because he's such just a genuine person. That's why I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he's just such a good person. And that's you know, I only was there for 15 months, but I got really close with him and his family. And so to hear him say that when I hadn't coached, you know, a game here, you know, it's coming from him and, mm-hmm. and all the wins he has, you know, that's it's pretty awesome. And it means a lot to me because he's truly the best.
He clarifies a little further. So I ask a follow up question to that. So let's get to that. And he talks a little more. So I promise not to.
When you observe the program, do you see it as like that could be something and they're in the right state? And, you know,
oh, I think so. I think, you know, you yeah. see, obviously, you're just looking right here. You see.
Sure. Like who's surrounding Brad,
yeah,
right? Right.
And you know, how important.
He's pointing across at Brad with 40 yep. reporters around him.
Sure.
You know, I knew Teresa Grant, so I was a friend of mine. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know the potential is there and the opportunities. And it just comes down to, you know, and they put money, obviously, into the arena. And,
yep.
You know, there's a commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think she, you know, where they're. Same thing when I got to Northwestern, you know, I knew the commitment was there. But I think she's really good. She's really, I think the one thing that she did at Dayton too, she's able to get people involved in the community.
Uh-huh.
You know, she'll energize the fan base.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a, you know, you have a built-in fan base there too. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they used to come out all the time.
Sure.
And I've played there when there was some really good crowds.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your reaction 4 years later hearing how mm-hmm. him predicting of how you're going to set up the program?
I mean, he knows, right? He's been around the business for a long time, and he understands it, like he said, from the men's side too, and he sees the big picture. He understands what it takes to have success. So someone like him, he gets it. So he knew right there that there was potential. It's just about aligning all the right things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, I believed in it, because I knew they hadn't won in a long time, but I also know your administration is so important. If you have so it starts with Josh, and if you have an AD that's going to believe and resource and then be there for you and again believe in the vision and be right by your side to help you get to that vision, then it can be accomplished. And I knew with the men's success and what Brad was building, and then just I remember, I mean, I'm from Iowa, so I grew up in Big Ten. I remember, you know, in the 90s when I was in high school, you know, Coach Grant's and the success she had, and I remember the men's teams back then. So I knew that there was a rich tradition in basketball, and I actually from afar always wondered, you know, not ever thinking I would be the head coach here, but I always wondered, just from a Big Ten follower, why is Illinois not winning?
Mm-hmm.
I just, and again, this is never in my mind what I, you know, thinking that, but I'm like, they have the recruiting ground. They have the history in terms of it being a basketball school. They're in the Big Ten. Like, why? So, but it all starts with administration, and that's what Joe really understood, and he understands the ins and outs of it. So
yeah.
That's what I take from that. Like, and you know, you gotta have all that. If you don't have that, you can't have success. And fortunately, we have that here.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a 10-second clip, and this is just us leading the interview and what he said about you.
All right, thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, she'll do great. I'm really big shout out.
All right, thank you.
If you couldn't hear it there, that's him saying, she'll do great. I'm a really big Shauna Greene fan. So
I need to get Joe as my hype person.
That's right. That's right. And I remember.
God, I love him.
I remember walking away from it thinking, like, this is the Northwestern coach. Mm-hmm. Like, he's invested in maybe beating Illinois all the mm-hmm. time. And he was very, like, you know, he talked about his transition from GW mm-hmm. to Northwestern and how your transition from Dayton to Illinois would be similar, and how you get it and you understand it. And so it's fascinating to me that he saw all of this coming. So here we are, you know, three NCAA tournaments in 4 years, an NIT championship, all of this, you know, kind of predicted by him at the moment.
That's awesome.
No, it was a lot of fun.
If I can win a Big Ten, you know, championship like he did in what, 20, when was it? 23? I don't know. A few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy. I mean, what he did at Northwestern was remarkable.
Sure.
So, again, I have so much respect for him as a coach, obviously, but more so as a person and someone in this business that it's hard to find genuine people. Mm-hmm. And you heard that right there. Because, we play each other two times. He, you know, he could have Mm-hmm. He wants to kick my butt. I want to kick his butt. But to hear that respect is pretty special.
Yeah, it was a great moment. Like, you know, I go to Minneapolis and I come home and I wrote like, hey, I came to cover Brad Underwood, but all I really did was talk to the Northwestern coach about the women's program. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going somewhere. So a credit to you for what you've applied to bring that to fruition.
Thank you.
If and when that Big Ten championship comes, at mm-hmm. this point, nobody will be surprised. So congrats on what you're building.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the goal, guys. That's what we're trying to, every day we're working for.
It should give you the opportunity, if there's anything you want to let us know about when it comes to things that are already in the work for next year, or anything we haven't asked you about, or maybe you want to ask Robert some questions.
I don't want to, you know, put him on the spot. No, but no, you know, we're just, again, right now just trying to get our roster in place, and then, you know, we get this group back. I could not be more excited about a season. And I know that might sound cliche for a coach, but I'm chomping at the bit to get back out there with this group, because I think at the end of the year we were just starting to really start playing our best basketball, and I can't wait to get back on the court this summer and get ready to prepare for this next season.
And hopefully you and Andy and Mateo can catch some downtime too when you hit summer break. And
yeah, hopefully. Let's get through this portal, and right. and then hopefully we'll get a little break in there.
That's right.
Thanks for being our guest as we light the eye green.
Light the eye green. Let's do it again sometime.
I appreciate it.
She's great.
Yes. It's amazing how all three coaches are rolling. Like, of the three main revenue sports, all three absolutely rolling, especially compared to what it was before they took over.
And, you know, her husband, Andy, is a teacher, an elementary school teacher in Champaign School District.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if all the kids in that class are like, yeah, my teacher is Shauna's husband.
I certainly would be. I mean, I it's why I love college sports, right? It's part of the community. She mentioned it. It's all part of the fabric of what it's like to live in a college town.
I have told my wife that if she becomes a head basketball coach at a Division I school, mm-hmm. a high major school,
mm-hmm.
I might not be working. I might just be kind of sitting around.
Yes.
But Andy's working.
Does she have that plan? Is that in the works?
No, it's not in the plan.
Okay, good. I'll check with her next time I talk to her.
Yeah, but, you know, Brad Underwood made a Final Four in his,
39th season as a coach. So
you never say never.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm just saying, I don't know that I'd be as industrious.
Can we talk about that stat? Everybody acted like it was his 39th year as a head coach. That was just 39 years as coaching, including like assistant at K-State for a while in Western Illinois and JUCO jobs and this and that. The build, the real build, started at Stephen F. in 2014, 2013.
Yeah, but I think the point is it was that long until he was a head coach at a D1 program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we just spent the whole winter talking about Cignetti and how he wandered around the edges of college football until he was like 62, and then he first started to really make some noise. So, you never know.
You're the one that brought up Cignetti.
Not that I'm bitter about Indiana having a title or anything.
All right. We got to talk about a little bit of men's.
Shift my attention.
Yeah. We got to talk a little bit about men's basketball news.
Yes.
A transfer shooter coming from Providence, Stefan Vaux. He is Estonian. Vaaks. Stefan Vaux.
I think is it Stefan or is it Stefan?
Oh, Stefan.
I think it's Stefan.
Stefan. Yeah, you may be right.
Yes. So, I mean, otherwise my Stefan joke that I made on Twitter doesn't land if it's Stefan.
Oh, was it?
I made the Bill Hader character from Saturday Night Live. I made that joke.
Oh, I thought you were going to go back to Family Matters.
No.
Steve Urkel?
Mm-mm.
Are you familiar?
No.
Oh, it was like his other persona that he would sometimes adopt.
See, that's where the difference between your age and my age, because I have all the 80s sitcoms, but then I was in college during all the Urkel stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, I wasn't watching any of those
Steve Urkel
shows.
Was really the nerdy neighbor, and he was in love with Laura, the one of the kids in the main house, and but like sometimes I don't even remember how. Sometimes he could transform into this alternate persona, Stefan, and then he like no glasses, and he was cool and suave, and
see all of attracted that to him. Escapes me. And if we're talking like different strokes, if we were talking family ties here, if we were going back to
they said, don't talk to me like I couldn't talk those shows with you.
The facts of life.
Yeah, I could skip that one.
I could share all about the facts of life. Those early 90s, that misses the window for me.
And this is why people come to us to break down transfers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
The Illini have added.
How is Stefan Vox like Joe from Facts of Life? Sorry.
Actually, more is it. How is he maybe a possible shooting replacement for Keaton Wagler and Ben Hummerkaus?
Yeah, I don't.
From distance?
Here's my take. I don't have a take yet. That's my take. Because I always think it's too early. You don't know who's coming back, and you don't know who's staying, and you don't know who else is coming from the portal. So here, this is the funny thing. I think we've talked about this before. I mute the word portal. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. I just mute the word portal. In fact, my own tweet that I put out making the Stefan from Saturday Night Live joke, when I look at it on my timeline, it doesn't even show the quote tweet. So I just searched for the news story about him joining.
Wait a minute.
Illinois.
How did you find out about this if you're like, I don't want to find out about this?
Friends texting. Like, I'm a part of like 19 different group chats. Sorry to the other 18 group chats that think they're the only group chat I'm part of. But, you know, the group chats are going to go live with you know, who the latest transfer is. So I look up the news. I quote tweet one of the news tweets, but then it mutes it in my own timeline. My own tweet is muted because it has the word portal in it. So I am hearkening my own irrelevance.
I'm going to say something with love.
Yes.
Somebody told me they're enjoying listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they're telling me, like, you're so chill. Mm-hmm. And Robert is so borderline neurotic.
100%.
And I'm here to tell you that if I'm perceived as chill.
I'm here to tell you, if you think I'm neurotic on the air, you should spend an evening with me.
Well, let me tell you this, though, Robert. I don't need to break it down. They already have broken it down.
Yes.
Stefan Vox.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I did send this to you. He is one of the...
17?
No.
Sorry.
He's one of the top.
I couldn't resist the moment.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yes, yes. He's one of the top players in the portal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he is regarded.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know you don't like this phrase.
I don't like any... I just don't like the way... I lived for top 100 rankings of high school players and the RSCI, the Recruiting Services Consensus Index, when you could take all of the different rankings and settle on here are the top 100 players, and the higher the number of those players you got, the better your college basketball team was going to be.
This was
and
also
simple
when
and easy.
Family Matters was airing as part of TGIF.
And I long for those days because now, nothing is going to make sense about all of these moves. I said this last year. All my friends are talking about Dame Sar and like, oh, he's come to Illinois and this. Oh, I heard that he's, like, everybody's just talking about stuff that doesn't matter. We're all going to forget about it. None of these day-to-day things really mean how good the team's going to be or bad the team. Just wait. May 1st, check back in, see what kind of team you got. That's how I am. Now, when you land a player, I'll look up that player. I'll watch that player's highlights. I like this kid. I like that he's attracted to coming to Illinois and wants to leave Providence and saw what we just did in the Final Four and wants to be a part of it. But exactly where he fits and who he replaces, I don't think we can say yet until we know who exactly is coming back and who exactly is not.
Well, he's one of the top.
One of the top players in the entire portal. You know, it's the sad thing. He probably is. Like he's really pursued by a lot of people.
No, that's
he probably
not sad.
Is that, one of the,
that's not sad.
It's sad because I'm sitting here saying like you can't trust any of these people saying one of there are no rankings anymore. Everybody is one of the top players, but this guy legitimately is.
All right, I don't think you've checked the YouTube comments from our last episode.
Okay,
so I'm going to leave us with this.
Okay,
this is Chef's Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
comment from our last episode when we talked about one of the top and mm-hmm. how you don't like that phrasing. Mm-hmm. Dat Boy from Illinois says, I'm hearing Light the Eye is one of the top podcasts in all of Illini Media.
I mean, 100% true. I mean, that guy has to know his stuff.
There's at least a dozen of them. We've got to be in one of the top.
One of the top.
One of the top.
One of the top. Let's put that in our logo now. Light the Eye, one of the top podcasts in the world.
Thank you to one of the top producers, Ella Peterson. Thank you to one of the top centers for innovation and teaching and learning at the U of I, Inside the Armory, for Robert Rosenthal, one of the top co-hosts we have here on Light the Eye. I'm one of the top hosts, Scott Beatty, and we'll talk to you again next time we light the eye, whatever color
light
it is.
One of the top eyes in the entire world.